What's up, Chicago? That's right. It is Monday, November 21st, 2016, and Taking the Limits Off is on the air live from the West Side Studios, located on the third floor of Kingdom Missionary Baptist Church, and we have an outstanding show for you on today. Today's topic, man, is going to be good. Missional Monday, 10 signs you're attending a great church. 10 signs you're attending a great church. Man, it's once again, it's your boy, your host, Mr. Dana L. King, in the studio, and man, sitting next to me right now, that's right, the one, the only, the good pastor from the south side of Chicago, Pastor Cornelius Parks.
Yes, sir.
What's going on, Doc?
Man, you got this thing, man. How you feeling?
I'm good, man. I'm excited, man. I'm good. I ain't trying to have this sweater on. You know, I'm had to break out the sweater collection.
Man, listen, man, anything below 60 degrees, man, I'm wrapped up in long johns.
Man, I'm trying to
say this. Man, I can't stand it, man.
I was not ready to break out the sweater collection. I really wasn't. I'm like, man.
Hulk hit us so hard Friday.
Man, can I get one more polo day? It was like, no.
No, not at all. It's all storage.
Man, get you, man. So I just break out the polo sweaters. I'm like, okay, let me
put it up.
Man, what's going on, Doc?
Man, you got this thing, man. It's been a great weekend, man. But other than that, it's all good, man. How about you?
I'm good. Let me give y'all real quick, man, to run down how y'all can contact the show. If you're already listening on the line, simply push 1. Push 1. That means that's those of you who've already called in. Just push 1. You can be a part of the show with your question and your comment. If you're listening via Blog Talk Radio, yeah, that's the website, blogtalkradio.com/takingthelimitsoff. Y'all see it on the screen behind me, those of you watching. If you're listening already via Blog Talk Radio, simply dial area code 347-934-0546. Again, that's area code 347-934-0546. We'd love to have you be a part of the show with your question and your comment. If you want to email the show, takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. We'd love to read that email live on the air. If you are on social media, so are we. Simply go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/TTLO Radio. Again, that's /TTLO Radio. We would love to have you be a part of the show right there. If you want to tweet the show, you can tweet the show at TTLO Radio. Again, you can tweet the show at TTLO Radio. We'd love to have you be a part of the show there. Live stream. You want to live stream the show? Ustream.tv. Ustream.tv is up and running. Again, that's Ustream.tv. Do a search for Taking the Limits Off with Dana and Divine, and you will find us right there. Be glad to have you be a part of the show. If you also Facebook Live, up and running. Y'all know the routine. I'm going to start speaking to y'all in a minute. Give me a chance. FacebookLive.com. Simply go to facebooklive.com/TTLO radio and you will find us there. Again, that's facebooklive.com/TTLO radio. You will find us there. Or I'm sure by now you've noticed everybody's sharing it on their page just because I love y'all, man. Y'all good. Y'all treat us real nice around here. Keep sharing that information. Send the viewers in, man. We love it. But y'all come on in, facebook.com/TTLO radio. And then last but not least, iTunes. If you have an iTunes account, you know, those of y'all walking around with them iPhones and iPads and iDis and iDat and the devil stuff, just go to your iTunes account, do a search for the podcast, Taking the Limits Off with Dana and Devon, hit the subscribe button, don't cost you nothing, free 99.
Not a thing.
And you good to go, man. We appreciate you. So, Doc. What happened, man? What's going on, man?
You got this thing, man. How you feeling, man?
I'm good. So you said y'all had, we were talking a little bit before the show started. You had an event on Saturday?
Yeah, so what happened, this organization called Star Quality, a couple of my members belong to the social club, and they wanted to use the church to give out turkeys and food. And so we was there witnessing, and it was marvelous because the week before, we fed the people and we gave out product, but then this Saturday they came in to give out turkeys and food bags, which was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And so today is going down in Inglewood, man.
Okay.
Grand Crossing, which is the community I'm in, the church at Inglewood, outside of the block.
Okay.
My good brother, my friend Maurice Fatale, he's a rapper.
Okay.
They do a Thanksgiving turkey giveaway. Not only are we giving out turkeys, but we're doing haircuts, we're doing the beautician stuff,
that's
doing
awesome.
Lady hair. Mm-hmm. We're giving away a lot of other product. Got DJs there, so it's like a one-stop shop for today. And so we're going to be there today, 4 to 8. That's at Ogden Park. That's 65th mm-hmm. and Racine. And so any of our listeners, if you want to come, even donate, because we're at the point that turkeys are very scarce.
Seems like it.
It is, because so many companies have even promised us that they was going to step in. We do understand that you can't always fulfill your obligation, even
right.
though you want to.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have asked the listeners before I got in, man.
I saw your video.
Yeah, and man, you'll be surprised the response
mm-hmm.
that I got. I have people say, okay, I'm going to give you a $200 gift card. I'm going to do this and that. And so, you know, after we leave here, we're going to be busy trying to get the stuff done. So to God be the glory.
That's good, man. That's awesome. That is awesome. That's
so how's
good.
Everything here, man?
Man, I'm good, man.
We
still, you know,
we're still going through the process.
We
okay.
have, let me not say that. The process has not even started. Let's
right.
put it that way, because
right.
the process probably will not officially start until about the second week of or third week of December.
Oh, okay.
That's
okay.
That's my understanding when they will actually start the process.
Okay.
So until then, they're not accepting resumes or anything like that. So, but man, look, hey, the worship service still got to go forward. And we had a time in worship yesterday. It was a good time, man. Reverend Cornelius King preached his first sermon back since his open heart surgery a little less than two months ago.
Man, that's amazing.
Yeah.
His name Cornelius?
Yeah, his name's Cornelius. Last name King. Yeah.
Last name King.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. They call him Corn. But,
that's what they called me, Corn.
Yeah. Yeah.
With potato.
Okay, yeah. So he preached his first sermon yesterday, man, and it was entitled, Don't Worry, God Got Your Back.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
He came out of 2 Kings, somewhere around the 15th verse. And he only read 2 verses, but he referenced the servant losing his axe head.
Okay.
And Elisha coming
okay.
to his rescue. Yeah.
Oh,
or Elisha, however you choose.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was good, though, man. He did good. He preached.
Man, let me tell you something what happened yesterday.
Go ahead.
Man, it's been a while since I literally had fun preaching.
I could tell from the status.
Man, listen, I'm talking about... The text was, man, I came from Luke 17 talking
okay.
about the 10 leopards.
Okay.
And honestly, that text have been
mm-hmm.
misinterpreted
mm-hmm.
so many times, I promise you. And even in my earlier years, I butchered the text.
Okay.
However, yesterday, man, that the Lord gave so much revelation from
mm-hmm.
that text.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't care if I got one amen, because I was up in that just having a field day. Man, I started break dancing, pop lock. Man, I'm up there having a field day preaching yesterday, man. And I just thank God, to God be the glory, that He gave me that energy and then the anointing because I needed it, man. And, you know, I preach, you got a right to be thankful.
Yeah.
And when I look at it, a lot of people are not healed because they sit still.
Come on.
The scripture told, when Jesus told the leopards to move,
mm-hmm.
then they got cleansed.
Yeah, yeah.
We like to sit back and want to see what Jesus is going to do first before
yeah.
we move.
Yeah.
Jesus is telling the people of God, it's time for you to move. Move away
on,
from some
on.
Things.
Come
move
on.
To another location. Change your area code. Change your zip code.
That's good.
Change job. You got to move in order for Him to do some miraculous stuff in your life. And I was just so happy. And then I believe that they thinking I was saying I'm about to move from the church, too. Because I seen so many people hitting each other.
Yeah, he leaving.
I had to reaffirm him. No, man, I'm just excited because the word, man, it just got me. He had me going, man. It had me going, man. Yesterday's just been a good day.
That's good.
Overall,
man.
That is
good.
God,
that is good. So I forgot last night that it came on. The American Music Awards was on last night. I completely forgot about it. I normally hit the DVR to record it, and then I can fast forward through the crazy stuff.
Okay.
But I was watching the news briefly this morning, and did you know that for best soundtrack yesterday, out of all the stuff that was out, guess who won best soundtrack yesterday?
Who was that?
Prince.
Wow.
For Purple Rain.
Wow.
Because 30 years after the movie was made, Purple Rain sold more records
oh,
since he
man.
Died.
Are you serious?
So he actually won the American Music Award last night for best soundtrack 30 years after the movie was made.
Man.
That's crazy.
That is crazy, man.
I'm like, wow. And Purple Rain, man. That is,
I mean, I don't care how hard you are. Game bangers, thugs, hoodlums. If you watch Purple Rain, you gonna cry.
Dude, I'm like, Purple Rain was like, I'm like, really?
You gonna cry. Got the lighter in your hand.
Yes.
Wave it to the side. Wave it side to side. Listen, you gonna cry. Man, there's just some movies out here. You gonna cry, man.
I'm like, that's crazy.
Now, who received the award?
His sister.
Okay.
His sister got the award. Tika Nelson. Tika, T-Y-K-A. It says was there to accept the award and make a speech about her brother and late music. Her brother and his music. That's just...
Man, that's awesome, man.
That's crazy.
That's awesome. African-American, man.
He won, Purple Rain won for the first time, won its first American Music Award for Best Album in 1985.
Wow.
And now you turn around and win for Best Soundtrack again in 2016.
And it was 30 years ago.
Yeah.
Wow, man, that's awesome. I know all you Prince fans out there, you ought to be happy today.
Man,
you're a Prince fan too?
Oh, man.
Man, it's always been that battle with me.
I got a Prince, you Michael Jackson.
Prince
of,
yeah, I was going to say Prince of Michael, see, man. Cubs, you know,
White Sox.
They used
Starbucks, Dunkin' Donuts,
Walmart, Target, Prince, Michael Jackson.
They used to say, I remember as a kid, I was all Mike.
Okay.
I was all Mike as a kid. And then can we be real? I think the mannish kid in me, the word mannish.
You know,
black folk made up a word, mannish.
That word was just right here, right?
Mannish.
Yeah.
Such word. It ain't in the dictionary, y'all. But mannish, the mannish kid in me loved some Prince.
Oh, yeah. When we got to our teens.
Yeah, when I got around 10 or 11.
Yeah, we started,
My auntie Joanne, who kind of introduced me to the not-so-saved music. Because, my mom listened to the Marvin Gaye's and the Al Green's and, they had his little innuendos, but it wasn't like, but my auntie Joanne introduced me to Bootsie Collins and George Clinton and Prince. 1990, the controversy album and all of that. And I'm like, oh my God.
Well, I never meant to cause you any trouble. I never meant to cause you any pain.
Hey, I know some of y'all.
I know it has some lyrics, but
I know for a fact that one of the things that I know for a fact, we got some. Y'all can say whatever. Some of my super holy saints.
Man,
some of y'all know for a fact. Y'all got some Prince fans.
Oh, man.
Let me read this comment. Let me talk to y'all in the chat room real quick before we finish this out. What's going on, Yolanda King? Let's see. She says, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brother, you did it to me. What a blessing to bless others. Oh, okay. Good. Yeah.
I guess they're talking about the turkey situation.
Yeah.
Thank you, yo.
That's good stuff. But, man, I'm sorry. I thought, my mom took me as a kid.
Uh-huh.
Although the story she tells is I went to sleep. But my mom and a cousin of mine, an older cousin, took me to see the Jackson 5.
Oh, wow.
When I was a kid. I was about 5 or 6 years old.
Man, you one of the few.
But I went to sleep.
This man went to sleep.
But this is
Michael.
This is the same kid who would go to sleep at the circus, though.
You got sleep no more. No
more.
What is it, y'all? If somebody help me.
That ain't it.
Whatever that was you just said.
Sleepanomia.
Sleepsomnia. He got something with
narcolepsy.
No,
I ain't got that. No, I just, man, you know what it was? I was one of those kids who was trained that at 8 o'clock is bedtime. So I don't care what was going on.
Man.
I don't care what was going on. 8 o'clock hit. It was like the brain was like, hey, bro.
Man, my brother was going to sleep.
So I sleep at the circus. I went to sleep at the Michael Jackson concert. And it took me some years to break that go to sleep at 8 o'clock habit.
Man.
Seriously. And I remember when I first started going out, when you get to high school and you first start going out, sleep apnea is when you can't breathe when you sleep. Leslie Kelly.
tell him, Leslie.
Look, but I remember as going, you know, you go to a high school party.
Yeah.
It took everything to be at the party and not feel sleepy.
Man.
I used to be, man, I would dance to the stupidest song that was on just to wake up.
Man. Hey, you talking about high school. Man, you remember you used to make the invitation on the index cards, man.
That wasn't me. I wasn't a creator. But I
remember you, man, we used to make the invitation on the index cards. You got to pay a quarter or a dollar to get in. And a party wasn't a party until you played that good slow jam. You got with your girl and you just start slow jamming. And you do, man, listen here.
So
we couldn't do that with Michael, though.
We can do it on Prince.
Michael only had, outside of Human Nature, wasn't really like it. That was a slow song, but you couldn't really, you know, Lady in My Life.
Yeah.
First of all, Lady in My Life was saying too much, so yeah. I wasn't going to dance with you on that, no way. It was saying, I ain't like you that much. So it was one song that I was scared of, Mike.
What was that?
When the man was singing to Ben.
Singing to the rat.
He was singing to the rat. Hey, he helped me out on one song.
What's that?
When I broke up with this lady.
Oh, Lord. Here we go.
I started playing Beat It. Just Beat It. Beat It. Beat It.
You need help.
Beat It.
You need so much help right now. You just can't even deal. But look, man, let me ask you this question before we move on. What's your favorite? So obviously you said you was torn. So it sounded like you leaned on the Michael Jackson side.
You know, hey, everybody wanted to do a Michael Jackson dance.
Okay.
You know, I never had a leather coat though.
You never had the jacket.
No, man, I was too thorn for that.
My auntie had. You know, my auntie was, what's the correct term now? Hair technician, hairstylist.
Okay.
You know, back in the day, it was just beautician.
Right.
You know, people even say beautician anymore.
That's why I couldn't even get it right. What was going today? I couldn't.
Is it hairstylist? Hair technician or something?
Because they fool you, man. They do crochets with hair now.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that, man.
I could tell you some secrets I saw. But my aunt, she used to work, you know, at the beauty, what is it, the beauty shop, or whatever you want to call it, the shop, that's what it's just called now, at the shop.
The shop.
You know, that's where you can go, you can get your hair did, you can get advice, you can get all type of stuff, and you can get your spring, summer, and fall attire.
Man.
In the beauty shop.
Man, listen.
What she bought, she came home with the beaded jacket.
Lord, have mercy.
If I did not put that jacket on every time she would bring that jacket to the house. She's like,
did you dance?
And did the whole video. Then about a week or so later passed, she come home with the Thriller jacket. The Thriller jacket was it. I begged her to wear that jacket to school.
Wow.
And she would never let me wear that jacket to school, and somebody stole it out of her car.
Wow.
Uh-huh. See how the Lord don't like ugly.
Wow.
But
did you have a glove with it?
I bought a glove off Madison Street.
Now, if you want... Now, you really wasn't
I
right
bought the glove.
Unless you had the socks.
I had... No.
See, everybody said a glove and a jacket, but I think...
I had the penny loafers.
Uh-oh.
Did you put the penny or nickel diamond?
The penny was the penny.
Okay.
He got the real ones.
I had the penny loafers.
Yeah.
The real penny loafers.
The real ones.
The penny loafers. The white socks on. Roll the cuff up. The torn up white V-neck T-shirt.
What you say?
I was ready. I was ready. Wait. And had the not quite white Jerry curl.
Uh-oh.
Oh, that one that just
right.
Didn't do in the back. It was curly right here.
Man,
it was
you gotta take a picture sideways.
Man, you always
get a side profile. Don't get.
Because your other side, you just take the side like right here. You don't never let them see the back.
Man,
because see, when you sleep on, you get pushed down. And like, because I remember, I was just having this conversation with somebody not too long ago. You know, did you have a curl?
I had a over-processed, that processed over.
What?
So you look younger than me, though.
I had a...
My curl.
You must have, but you had like S. You had S curl.
My hair. Now, let me say this in defense.
Okay.
I got a good grain of hair. So
okay, good grade.
Okay. I don't know what.
He got Indian in his family.
I got some of that.
Cherokee.
Yeah.
Jeep Cherokee.
I don't know what my. Why mama think okay. I needed a curl?
Okay, because everybody had one.
Right. My curl was processed.
Okay, so you
over processed.
You had a perm.
It was over processed, and she had to process it over.
because snapback didn't work.
Oh, Lord. You know,
if you had a curl
uh-huh. and snapback wouldn't work,
yeah.
it was something wrong with your head.
Now, it just goes to show you how we black folk, got ripped off.
Man.
Because snapback
Man.
Was supposed to bring your curl back. So you wouldn't have to go and spend another $200 or $100
Man.
And whatever dollar. Snapback did. Okay, so snapback was the Jerry curl. That's the one that was in the yellow
yeah.
model with the red on it.
And then
it was the rejuvenator.
Oh, my God. Lord have.
You remember
the
rejuvenator?
Oh, my God. Do anybody that's live remember the rejuvenator? That stuff did not work at all.
I used to mix
at all.
Let me tell you, I would take the rejuvenator, the snapback, the activator, and the moisturizer.
Be in the bathroom.
Yeah.
So then when the curl would get real bad.
Yeah.
And you couldn't get it right.
I don't know why my mama had mousse.
Oh my God.
Bathroom.
Oh my God.
I would use the mousse to slick the sides back.
Hey, so I used to say I had a bantu. I'm wearing a perm one day and then the curl the next. Anybody remember that bantu? That depending on how you feel that day, you can feel like a temptation, or you want to feel like an Isley brother. It's either one. It's how you feel on this day. That bantu, baby. I'm talking about you could wear perm one day and I still don't understand how that happened.
Man,
you could wear perm one day and a curl the next.
My aunt was our family hairstylist.
Wow.
So, you know, I never got my curl done at the shop. She always did mine at the house because, you know, if you wasn't paying full price, you got yours done at the house. But I wanted the curl but hated the process because if you all remember the real curl, if you can,
David Rogers, he's a y'all done went all the way back. Wait, what's going on? He says, oh, look. If you remember this, so, you know, first, they don't, you know, you didn't wash your hair first.
No.
They just put that relaxer.
Yeah.
That cold relaxer.
Neutralizer. Okay.
No. That comes after.
Okay.
No.
Oh, the cream.
Then you put that cream. That's
First, you had to straighten out your hair.
Yeah, that's the cream.
Right.
Yeah.
So that, you know, it's called perm. That's what it is. So you put that perm on there, and then, you know, it's already burning.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about 5 minutes in, I'm crying. I mean, I've got full tears running.
Yeah.
So then they rinse that out.
Hmm?
With the neutralizing shampoo.
Okay,
so
come on.
And
you're taking us back.
So now you underneath this hot water. And then cold water. So then now she rolling it up with them little bitty, them thin.
Man.
You remember, come on.
Man, my baby just got her braids last night. I seen that.
Pulling
man.
Your scalp meat.
Pulling it.
The scalp meat is
pulling it.
Pulled back into the top of your, and I'm listening. So you sitting there just dying. You can't close your eyes because that's how much she done pulled your scalp.
Man, listen here.
So then after this in there.
And if you got a cone, it breaks.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
Everything.
So now you got to sit there and watch all this stuff happen. And then all of a sudden you sit there for about 20, 30 minutes. You get under the dryer. And that dryer is burning and cooking.
Man.
Your scalp.
Man, your head is.
So then after about 30 minutes or so, she come unroll one curl to see.
To see, after
to see if it curled up.
Nope.
Man, you need about 30 more minutes.
DFD, baby. Where I go get my hair cut on Chicago and Waller, there's a guy. Now, these guys that cut real good in there.
Uh-huh.
But they got one just like Eddie on barbershop.
Uh-huh.
And he still do the curl.
Oh, Lord.
I mean, man, he still do the curl. Man, he got this cock strong guy that worked for CTA coming there.
The
I'm
curl.
Talking about he cock strong, skinny, but cock strong.
Good ass curl.
Man, his curls just, I'm talking about, as they would call it, draping. But a curl wasn't a curl.
No.
until you was able to put that plastic bag over it.
Now, this is one one rule my mama had. You will not wear that plastic bag out the house.
Yeah, man.
Sleep in it, it will come off. I never understood how the bag stayed on.
Man, listen.
That bag will come off and pillowcase just wet.
Hey, but trip that part. You remember before they came out with it was just clear.
Uh-huh.
But when they came out with the yellow
color bag,
blue, man, red, we was popping, baby.
Trying to get your
bag.
Your Jessica bag to match.
Trying to match your pajamas. Man, we was popping, man. I'm talking about we was in that joint. Like, man, you don't hear me. I'm talking about you wanted your carefree bag you wanted your carefree bag to match those color Levi's. You wanted to match with your Lottos, your Deodoras. Yeah, you wanted to match. Y'all don't hear me out here. Y'all don't hear me. I got any folks that still go down memory lane and look how terrible we was back in the day.
Man,
Thank God. And I believe, no offense,
uh-huh,
I believe that's why a lot of people hair gone now. Because we used so many chemicals back then.
Man, I just was like, my God. I know the best part about the carefree curl was when it was time for the rollers to come out and you had to get up underneath that cold water.
Just that cold water
on the thing. And boy, you couldn't tell me nothing.
I got a good part for you.
The first day.
I got a good part.
Go ahead.
You remember after she's done,
uh huh,
after you get the cold water,
uh huh, uh-huh,
she tell you,
uh huh,
shake your head.
Right. Man, you couldn't tell, boy.
Watch yourself.
Wait,
show me what you're working with.
And then, after it's all styled up, you get that little curl right here.
You got that mic going there, man.
You ain't had no curl unless you put that
You didn't have no curl unless you had the mic, baby. That Michael Jackson. That's what made Mike really know, baby.
You had to let that little one drop right there. You could, boy, that
but
was.
But they messed up when they started coming in with the S curls and all. Listen, we should have just kept it carefree.
My uncle was on the S curl box. Seriously.
He was.
My uncle David. He was on the show when we did the thing about
Horton, right?
The State Troopers. Yeah.
He was on the S curl box.
Man, funny story. I remember when he was on the box because he was on the box with the young lady.
Uh-huh.
Who was on the box with him, the other model, was one of the girls from Coming to America. She was one of the people that was following one of the rose petal bears.
Wow.
She's one of the throwing the rose petals.
Wow.
So he was on the box with her. And I remember some years after the box had came and went or whatever, he had did the whole S-girl thing. We were on our way down south, and we stopped at some little convenience store.
Wow.
And so I'm walking through, and I see the box.
Wow.
And I'm like, that's on the box.
Oh,
so this is about 10 years, right? So we in here. Why they still got that old stuff on the shelf, I don't know.
Oh, my God.
I walk up and I'm standing there. So this lady standing there, I was like, this dude look familiar. You know, trying to see if she going to say. I said, what she said? What you talking about? I said, ain't that guy standing over there? She goes, oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. It's the S-Code man.
Hey, man, now you're going to bring back Coming to America, man.
That was funny, though, man. So, anyway, real quick, favorite Prince song?
Favorite Prince song?
Since you're a Mike fan, I know it ought to be easy for you.
You know,
you're a Mike fan, you know, you're MJ, you know.
You know, that's a trick question.
No, it's not.
Is it then or now?
Period.
Okay.
If what Prince song will come on the radio right now, and you're going to turn up the volume. That's the one I'm talking about.
I would go with Purple Rain.
Purple Rain, really?
I got to go with that, man.
Okay.
I mean, that's a legend, man. Back then,
uh-huh,
when I was Manish.
He said Manish.
Come back, Nikki. Come back.
Oh, darling, Nikki.
Yeah.
Okay.
You look good.
Look at the Saints. The Saints watching right now probably saying, Lord,
hey,
what are they talking about? Y'all get over it. Get over it.
Y'all knew a girl named Nikki, knew a brother named Bobby. Hey, get over it. I knew a lot of girls that I had to say their name and just try to match it.
You try to match their name to the song?
I did, man.
Now it's definitely time to move on.
What's your favorite? What's your favorite Prince?
My favorite Prince song, if I had to go with, it's on the Sign of the Times album. It's
okay.
Adore.
Oh.
Adore.
I truly adore.
Yeah. Adore is like my favorite Prince song, because the thing with Adore is Adore is just like a real song. It ain't got that managed vibe. Now, right. Now, you know, I ain't gonna tell y'all the name of the actual Prince song. Like, you know, I ain't gonna, the Cornelius, the managed version. That's Erotic City.
Oh, Erotic. Oh,
we're gonna take a break.
We'll take a break. What's your Mike song?
My favorite Mike song? I don't know.
I know mine.
What's that?
The Girl Is Mine.
Really?
Mike and Paul. Man, that was a hit, man. I mean, hey.
I'm trying to think. What's my favorite?
I mean, all of Mike's songs.
My favorite Mike song. You know what? My favorite Mike song that comes to mind right now is, I think it's on the Bad album, The Way You Make Me Feel.
It's either
The Way You Make Me Feel. Right, see? That's the one. It's either The Way You Make Me Feel or you take it a step further, Remember the Time.
Oh, Remember the Time.
Do you remember? Come on now, listen. Look, y'all, we gotta go. We gotta take a break. We done went way off the rails over here, y'all. We gonna take a break, man. We come back,
Yeah.
Oh, God. It is Mission of Monday, y'all. We gonna take a quick break. We'll be right back, y'all. Let me give y'all a little bit of this, man, might as well go ahead and do it. A little bit of this He's Able. No, I'm going to give you this with William McDowell. I Won't Go Back. We'll be right back, y'all. TTLO. Peace. He has no facial expressions whatsoever. He is saying, I mean, he is in full worship mode with no facial expressions. I mean, just none. I mean, literally everybody around him is in worship. The crowd is in worship. His team behind him is in worship. But he's just standing in front of the microphone with just empty. But
empty.
But he, hey. I mean, even on the vamp of the song, he still ain't none.
That's like Lee Williams.
Lee Williams.
You did not just go to Lee Williams. No, I'm just saying.
No, you're about right.
No expressions. Yeah, he going at it, but no type of expressions whatsoever, man. They're catching spirituals, man.
Oh, God, Lee Williams. You did not go to Lee Williams. Let me read some of these comments. David Rogers, what's going on? What's going on, Apostle? David Rogers and then Melissa LaFleur says, Adore is number one. Now, I'm going to get on some of y'all, right, because I'm looking at this thing, right? And I see a bunch of y'all in the room, but only two of y'all spoke to us and spoke to the other people.
They acting shy.
They acting funny. Y'all ain't them funny acting Christians, is you?
I hope y'all
Holy Ghost hangover.
Right. I hope y'all ain't them funny acting Christians. Y'all
No. They mad.
What they mad for?
The Bears lost again.
But y'all going to stay mad.
And there's some Packers fans on that too.
Y'all, did the Packers lose too?
My God.
You know, literally, and I said this the other day, I have not watched a full football game all season.
Oh, wow.
I feel you seriously because it's like I'm so out of it. It's like I don't – by the time I get to a TV on Sunday, it's like, man, whatever channel is on, that's where it stays.
Well, the Washington of the Redskins murdered the Packers of the Green Bay.
The Packers of Green Bay.
Murdered them. Listen, Aaron Rodgers need to go back and reevaluate some things.
Oh, Lord.
Man, put it on them boys, man. Green Bay looks so terrible now.
Wow.
Man, listen. I mean, we all know Bears going to be terrible.
Yes.
But Green Bay looks so terrible that now for Thanksgiving, the Minnesota against Detroit Lions is going to be the game of the day to see who got first place in that division.
Wow.
That division is so horrible.
Is that tonight?
No, that's Thursday.
Oh, Thursday night. Oh,
but that division is so horrible, man.
Yeah.
I'm talking about I could put a pop league team in that division, and they probably win some games. They was debating, would the Bears win one more game? And the statistics said, they think they at least win one.
How many games have they won?
I think two.
Just two. Tanya, if you can, help us out. What was my prediction for the Bears season this year? Because I have been right 5 out of 5 last 5 years.
Oh, wow.
On predicting the Bears.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. The 6-10s.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I've been, So when I had Dr. Joe Du on the line one time during the show, I told him, I said, would you classify me as something like a prophet?
Uh-oh.
Because I've been able to prophesy the best.
Uh-oh.
And he said, in the slightest, most thinnest possible narrow way, if you only prophesy in the Bears, I would call you a prophet.
That means his accuracy.
Right. My accuracy
will be on point every year.
It's flawless.
It's flawless.
It's flawless when it comes to the Bears.
Flawless.
Oh, my God. Let's see. Leslie Kelly. Now, see, I should be reading y'all comments because y'all still ain't spoke to nobody.
Leslie is a Packers fan. She's trying to defend.
That's what it is.
Let
me read the Packer fan comment. It was the defense and not the offense, but it went back and forth. It was not a full-on slaughtering.
Y'all lost in double digits. You tell me. That's football. I mean, what do you mean?
Oh, God.
You lost to the Washington of the Redskins. Who was the Washington of the Redskins?
Right, and they ain't got the... Oh,
they don't have man.
Yeah.
Kirk Cousins is that quarterback. Man, are you kidding me?
Oh, God.
Leslie, see, you know better than that.
See, we got people coming in the room. Y'all ain't spoken.
Listen.
I'm one of the people that like to call people out. So let me see. Leslie came in the room.
Didn't speak.
David Rogers came in the room.
Didn't speak.
Melissa LaFleur came in the room.
Didn't speak.
Lisa King just came in the room.
And you show didn't speak.
Right. You know what I'm saying? Speak to the people. Be nice.
Speak to our hearts.
Right.
Speak, Lord.
Speak to me.
Speak to me.
Yes, sir.
You
can't call nobody.
Right.
Y'all come in the room and don't say no.
You can't call nobody.
Don't even speak to the people in the room.
How dare you?
Just like church folk.
No, just like. I bet you put up your Baptist finger when you came in the room. Come on the room.
No, please don't say that. We got a deacon at the church.
Oh, don't tell me he's seen that, man.
He gonna bust that out for devotion.
Man, listen here.
I'm so serious.
I was flatlined.
It was one time he busted out. I went laid out in the back because I couldn't stand.
I was flatlined.
Hello, Melissa.
Hello, Melissa.
How are you? She said, sorry. Bless you. Bless you.
Why me? I thought she was abbreviating something. I thought that was an acronym,
you know what?
It was. For some.
Okay, but I thought an S means so already.
You know what? Wow. Thank you.
We done.
Thank
we
you.
Done.
I mean,
done
I'm not
you.
Good.
This dude over here.
I got to look up urban dictionaries for a lot of stuff that's being said. So I promise you, I'm just going to pick up my phone and look up S-R-Y to see what that meant.
I'm glad you did.
Man, look, I wasn't going to tell you either.
I'm glad you did.
Because I know you was going to bust me out.
Yes, I was. Yes, I was.
I wasn't going to tell it.
I'm glad you didn't. All right, y'all. Look, we got this really good article, right? We want to make sure I give it the time so we can get out of here on time because my brother got to get handle this stuff. Leslie Kelly, hello to everyone on this fine, cold afternoon. Well, hello, Leslie.
Hello, Leslie. How you doing?
About time. Look, bless you, bless you. Come on in the room. Now, look here. Y'all got to share the video. Let me tell y'all real quick. If you're watching on Facebook Live, hit that share button. You're on the app. If you're on an app on a Android phone, I think you swipe up, right? Yeah, you swipe up and hit the share button, or it's already there. If you on an iPhone, you swipe right or left, it's one of them, and hit the share button, and you can share the video. If you're watching on your computer via Facebook, then you just hit the little share icon right there on your screen and share this with all your people. Don't be, you know, don't have all the laughs and fun for yourself. But let's jump in, man. We got this really good article, and I want to make sure we give it the time that it deserves. Let me make sure y'all have it. The article is simply entitled, 10 Signs You're Attending a Great Church.
Mm.
10 signs you're attending a great church. And I think it's one of those things where we really, really need to recognize. And then if you don't fall in some of these categories, then, you know, that means, you know, you got some stuff to work on.
That's right.
That's all. Just got some stuff to work on.
That's right. I mean, to be honest, I don't think all of us going to fall in all 10.
No, you're not. But if you get some, you're on the right path. If you get some, you are on the right path. Let me make sure y'all got the article. Hold on 1 second. Let me put this out here for y'all on there we go. Yep. There's the article for y'all on Facebook Live. Let me drop it in here real quick for those of you watching on Ustream TV. Real quick, real quick. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Get in there, get in there. Right? Come on. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Log in. I'm trying to log in. Thank you. All righty. There we go. Boom. Okay. So we are good. So again, today's conversation, this is going to be good. I think y'all are going to enjoy this. 10 signs you are attending a great church. We're going to jump right in. The writer is Greg Steer or Steyer, one of the two. It's on churchleaders.com under the missions and outreach section for missions. So definitely want to jump right into it. It says, when you're plugged in into a church that focused on the thing of God, you can tell the difference. This is what he says. He says, I love the church. She is Christ's bride and the key to cultural transformation. In that sense, every church is great. But let's be honest. There are tons of churches that leave much to be desired when it comes to truly making a difference in their congregations and communities.
Mm. Wow.
So when you plug into a church that is getting it done, it's a true blessing. He says, of course, there are no perfect churches, but there are many that are pressing toward the higher mark we see in Scripture. Here are 10 signs you may be going to a great local church.
Uh-oh.
Number one. Go ahead, Pastor.
Number one, it is led by a team of godly leaders, not a Lone Ranger pastor who gathers Tonto-type leaders around him to say, yes,
What? Kemosabe.
You know I don't watch it.
You didn't watch Lone Ranger?
Not really.
Poor fella.
I was a thug, man. Kemosabe to his each and every idea.
Wow.
Titus 1:5-9. You know, that's so true.
Yeah.
That you got some pastors not building leaders.
Mm.
They building followers.
Yes, people.
Yes, people.
Yeah. Yeah,
people. Yes, sir.
Yeah, bobbing head down.
Yeah, yeah.
Uh-huh.
So he got his crew that when he talking, he know who's gonna agree with him. Mm-hmm. Automatically, he know he's not. Who's not?
Right.
And I think, you know, that hurts the church. It handicaps the church.
It does. It does.
It handicaps it. It cripples the church.
I saw this one, man, and I instantly, like, just in my spirit, it just jumped. I said, this is one of the things that. When he says, the article is entitled 10 Signs You May Be Going to a Great Church. You have a great church if your pastor is not a long ranger pastor, meaning your pastor does not just go off and do things without any support, without any trying to sell his vision. He just has his vision. He keeps it to himself, and nobody knows what the hell you're doing. And then when all hell breaks loose, you want to blame the very people that you never told what you were doing in the first place.
And that's true. And that, you know, we got to get out of that. We got to get out of pointing the finger.
Oh, my God.
We got the point the finger syndrome.
Woo, Lord.
That every time things go wrong,
yes,
we point the finger at others.
Yeah.
But then every time things go right,
yeah,
we point the finger back at us.
Mm.
It's totally backwards. It shouldn't be like, wait. I mean, I like how he said it led by a team.
A team.
Number one, a team.
Right.
There's no I in team, but there's a me in team.
Yeah.
That me is the one who knows how to gather and who know how to lead.
Right.
But he's not going to take up the full responsibility of the substance. And so what happens in casting vision, we don't understand that it's the pastor's job to cast vision, but it's the members to enhance it.
Wow. Wow.
I might cast a vision, but by me sharing my vision with you, my brother, you might can see it, the same vision.
Yep.
You can tweak it to enhance it, to allow them to make it be more effective.
And help you get there.
Help me get there.
But if you keep it to yourself.
Oh, man. Please.
Ah, come on. Let's go. Now, go ahead and do number two.
The gospel is central to every sermon, program, and meeting, 1 Corinthians 15:3-4, and the advancement of it both locally and globally drives strategic initiatives. Honestly, the gospel has to be the central focus point of every church. If your church don't have scriptures to support its mission statement, if they don't have scriptures to support the direction or vision of the church, then the church have nothing.
Does your church have a mission statement?
We do.
What is it? Do you know it?
Seek ye first. We love people, empower people, and disciple people.
Oh, that's right. I remember that.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Okay. Good.
And we believe in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, everything else be added.
Mm-hmm.
Even in love people, empower people, disciple people, we have scriptures to be pinned in there as well.
That's good. That's good. I think one of the things that when it says the gospel is central to every sermon, you cannot use every sermon should have some sort of gospel foundation.
It should.
You
have to be.
And that's why I you know, and again, it's no slight to people like Joel Osteen and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things I noticed about Joel Osteen years ago, that when he gets up to talk, he don't get no scripture.
Right.
He just starts speaking. And he never uses any reference to anything other than God loves you and
right.
God's going to do this and do that and all you know, whatever. But I think it's kind of when the writer of this article says the gospel is central to every sermon, program, and meeting, and the advancement of it both locally and gospelly drives strategic initiatives. So if your programs in your church are not gospel centered, if your initiatives, meaning your outreach in the community, is not gospel centered, meaning if you're only going out to the community so you can get people in. Not that they ever learned the gospel or grow a relationship with Christ, but just so you can get some butts in the seats. Guess what? It ain't gonna work.
Wow.
So we have to make sure that what we're doing is not me centered or group centered. That is actually God and Christ centered. Because if you do that, it's just like the Bible says: if we do the lifting, He'll do the drawing. But we have to make sure we're lifting the name. Or the gospel, rather, of Jesus Christ, and things will then fall into place.
What happens is when we move in out of our own pleasure.
Outside of the will of God.
Outside
of
the will of God,
yeah.
In our own pleasure,
yeah.
When we have a certain motive to do outreach.
Yeah.
And this is what makes me mad about a lot of outreach out here.
Come on.
Most guys only do outreach to add to the church.
Yeah.
And not the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
And so when they're out there trying to minister to people,
mm-hmm.
the first thing they say, well, you need to come to my church.
Yeah.
No, you need to get them saved. Introduce them to Jesus first.
Yeah, exactly.
Because truth of the matter, then they came to your church. And what if you're not a Bible-based church?
Yeah.
That never introduced Jesus.
Right.
And I told the people yesterday, have you in here still in the predicament you're in?
Yep.
It's not because God is not God.
Yeah.
It's not because Jesus is not who he is. It's because of you.
Wow.
You got to take the initiative to do some things. Even as your leader, if I stand before you and tell you what thus said the Lord,
yeah.
you still have an obligation to go research that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Oh,
to make
God.
Sure you're part of
absolutely.
A Bible-based church.
Absolutely. You there is, you are, you are doing yourself a disservice
mm-hmm.
by being preached to every Sunday and never going back and checking on what the preacher told you.
Well, or being preached to every Sunday and you're not being healed.
Right.
You're well, not being delivered.
Because you can't be delivered if you don't get it.
Yeah.
You have to think about it this way from a Bible standpoint. Every reference to every person who was healed in the Bible was healed first because they believed.
Mm.
First because they believed.
Mm.
The woman, we just talked about it, the woman with the issue of blood, her faith is what got her healed.
Mm-hmm.
The guy who stood by the pool of Bethesda for 38 years,
mm-hmm.
waiting to try to get the water, he knew that the water would heal him.
Mm-hmm.
So he had some faith in the angel.
Talk,
he had some
talk.
Faith in God. But then when Jesus actually showed up,
talk.
Come on. So you got to have some faith. But guess what? You don't. Your faith does not grow if you don't read, if
That's
you don't
true.
Study.
That's true. That's true.
Man,
That's
let's
true.
Go. Let's go. Number three says this. People are using their spiritual gifts.
Mm.
Again, we're talking about 10 signs you're attending a great church. Number three is, one of the signs is, people are using their spiritual gifts, not just watching the stage team
wow.
exercise theirs
wow.
resulting in disciples being made and multiplied.
Wow.
So that means people are using their gifts not so people are actually participating and
not
just spectating.
You know,
come
now,
on.
I learned this too.
Yeah.
And this getting ready to be so tight. Some people have become intimidating to use their gift in the church because the training
mm-hmm.
aspect
yeah.
have not been begun in their life. You know, you can have an idea or you can have a zeal of what it is that you believe
yeah.
that the Lord has called you to do.
Yeah.
But if you never exercise this.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
If you never
that's
really
good. That's good.
Exercise it,
that's
it's kind of hard
yeah.
for you to adapt to the calling
mm-hmm.
upon your life.
A lot of dreams die on the couch.
Oh, definitely.
A lot of dreams die
definitely.
On the couch.
Definitely.
Because you sat on that couch
wow.
and God gave you a vision and you stayed on the couch.
But then also the scripture said in Romans, your gift is irrevocable.
Yeah.
You no matter if you use it or not, it's still
repentance.
In you. Yeah. Your gift comes without repentance.
Yeah, yeah.
So here, I love to see a church that have members using their spiritual gifts
yeah.
and not talents.
Yeah,
there
works.
Is a big difference
wow.
between talent
wow.
and spiritual gifts.
Wow.
And I always go back to what I thought I was spiritually inclined about, but it was really a talent.
Okay.
Back in my days, I was a good director.
Okay.
But truth of the matter, I was just a talented director. I knew how to shout to folks on certain songs, but I was not able to take the choir
uh-huh.
to another level.
Right, because you couldn't teach the song.
Exactly. Yeah. That wasn't my giftedness.
Yeah. Yeah. Good directors first know how to teach a song.
That's right.
They know
right.
how to teach a song.
They got
yeah.
the total package.
Yeah, that's true.
And not only do they know how to teach the song, but they have an ear for music.
Yeah.
And so all that plays a major part. It even I love to see this in churches because what happens, spiritual gifts don't have a look.
Ah, come on. That's true.
So what happens, we only judge people and we want who we want on stage based upon on how they look.
Yeah.
And not knowing the very people that might can help take our ministry to a place
right.
don't look like us.
Wow.
Don't act like us. Seriously. And so we're losing focus in our smaller churches because, number one, here, let me bless you with something. We're just putting people on stage
mm-hmm.
just to fill a slot,
mm-hmm.
not because they've been qualified for that slot. And when you put people on stage just to fill a slot
mm-hmm.
and who's not been qualified for this,
yeah.
then you're out of alignment from the leader on down.
Wow. That's good. That's good. That's good. And we do. You're absolutely right. We put people in just in positions.
Yeah. Just
how are you going to be unorganized and be the church secretary?
My question is, how you only got 10 members, but you got 6 ministries?
Oh, Lord. But seriously, how you gonna be the church record keeper and you can't keep up with your own stuff?
Well,
how you gonna? I mean, seriously, but you don't. But again, and I had this conversation before. only in the church mm-hmm. do we put people in positions that not only were they not qualified for, that we don't even do a simple reference check.
Wow.
We don't even do the thing before we put you over the youth ministry. You know, the qualification for being over the youth ministry is you got a kid.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
You're a parent.
You have a kid.
You're a parent.
You should know how to treat all.
No. Because you could be a horrible parent.
Exactly.
I don't mean no harm, but
exactly.
I'm just saying some folk don't need kids.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're hitting it right on the head.
Let's go. Number four. This says number four, it's like we're talking about 10 signs you're going to a great local church. Number four says, it's like the early church is integrated.
Uh-huh.
It says fully representing the demographic of the community in which it resides. Mm-hmm. Ephesians 2:11-21. It says, by the way, my buddy Derwin Gray has got a lot of great material, on this particular point, but your church should mirror the community in which it resides.
Yeah, it should.
So okay, but then let me say this, because if you want a diverse demographic,
mm-hmm.
but you're not in a diverse community, like for instance, Austin, there's not a high percentage of Caucasians in the Austin area, right?
Right.
So diversity is not going to be as profound as you would think. In the Austin area.
Can I share something with you?
Come on.
This is something that I love. This one is what I love because I have seen this lately.
Okay.
They might not come to our church.
Uh-huh.
But they'll come into our community and start a church.
Yeah. That's good.
And not only will they start a church.
That's good.
The majority of their flock would be African American.
That's true. That's
so
true.
In essence.
That's true.
It's possible
mm-hmm.
that you can integrate
mm-hmm.
your ministry, no matter if you're in urban community or not.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, to be honest with you, the average African-American pastor
mm-hmm.
don't know how to reach no other race.
That's true.
When they're preaching.
That's true.
When they're teaching.
Because unfortunately, we've been taught through tradition or history, this certain style of preaching.
That's right.
That in some cases
that's right.
does not translate
that's right.
into other
that's
communities.
Right. But truth of the matter, that style don't even work with some of our people
are over
because,
it.
Because truth of the matter, that's not too many hooping pastors that church is booming like that.
That's true.
And I'm sorry, for guys that hoop, so be you.
That's true.
However, what's growing churches now is teaching ministries, people teaching and learning their own identity. I think what happens, so many people have been forced to hoop because if you can hoop, you're going to get preaching engagement.
Yep. Yep.
I'm serious. And,
yep.
And not being comfortable in your giftedness. And so always remember this. Hooping is not a gift.
Mm-hmm.
That's a talent.
Oh, wait. We got somebody. Lisa King just spoke. Hi, Lisa. Okay, now she good.
Lisa. Hooping is not a gift.
You're right.
It's a talent. I know some people that practice hooping.
Yeah.
You practice it to perfect it.
I used to play hooping when I was a kid, but as a preacher now, I wouldn't even understand. Yeah.
I don't knock nobody who do it because it sounds sweet sometimes.
Sometimes it really do.
It sounds
sweet. Oh, when it's good. When it's God contrived versus man contrived, because it just flows naturally.
Yeah.
Some folks just want to be taught.
Yeah, definitely.
And you don't have. That's why like a Reggie Royal. Right?
Yeah.
I don't think Reggie Royal is a hooper.
No, he's not a hooper. No, not at all.
But because he comes from that Bill Winston school of preaching. Now Bill Winston, what's funny is used to be a hooper.
Uh huh. Oh yeah.
Old school Bill Winston when he was just down there in Forest Park.
T.D. Jakes.
T.D. Jakes. Still hoops every now and then.
He might say a couple of them. Then
he'll come back. But he's not a
in Houston, African American, or is that Louisiana? He always have a pastor's conference. It's gonna come to mind. That man, one of the most hoopiest pastors. But right now, you would never ever know
I'm
that.
To think who you talking
man,
about?
African American. It's gonna come to mind.
It'll come to you. It'll come to you.
Go ahead and get number. A passive first lady conference as well.
Go ahead and get number five. Number five.
Number
again,
five,
y'all. We're talking about 10 signs. 10 signs. You're attending a great local church. Go for it.
Love demonstrating itself in friendliness, generosity, internal, external care programs, and community involvement dominates the atmosphere.
Wow.
One of my favorite scriptures, that 1 Corinthians 13, which is that agape love.
Mm-hmm.
I believe if you don't have a given heart, if your church don't have a given heart, you're not going to reach anyone.
Yeah.
Because most people follow you for what you do for them.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not doing nothing for them, right nowadays, just going to Sunday service is not enough. It's not. You show me a ministry that just surviving strong off just Sunday service. I can't see it. I don't know nowhere in the city of Chicago that there is a ministry that's surviving without doing community development, without doing open up their doors for the poor, just doing the things, the same things that the church is set to do.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. I think that you cannot, you can't be so inwardly focused. Any church that's just strictly inwardly focused is not going to thrive. It's just not, it's not going to happen, because you have to have, and I love this because it's hitting me right in my wheelhouse, because where it says demonstrating itself in friendliness, generosity, then it says internal and external care programs and community involvement, that those things dominate the atmosphere of the church. So if your church is, if your church is focused on making sure that people are taken care of and that all of those things are happening, especially those on the outside, then I think you're in the right direction. But if your church is only focused on, you know, we only gonna take care of our mothers, and we only gonna take care of the kids in our church, and you got 5 kids in your church.
Boy, you said,
you said something. 50 kids pass your church every day. You got schools on both sides of your church. I ain't talking about nobody. I'm just telling the truth.
You got
schools on both sides of your church, but the only kids you got involvement with is the 5 or 6 that's in your building.
Man, you said something.
Come on.
You said something so key.
Come on.
It said internal. Charity begins at home.
Yeah, it does.
Number one. However, the membership can't be stingy.
Woo!
Lord. The membership can't be selfish.
Yeah.
You know, I've seen it happen that some members want everything to themselves.
Yeah.
And they literally get mad when people from the outside come in and get something.
Yeah. That's why I know, like, you know, you had your Thanksgiving feeding last, not last, was it last Saturday or what day was it?
Saturday before last.
Saturday before last. And you said you had a very good turnout.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't members. It was just people from the community. I remember seeing you sitting outside.
Yeah.
Begging people to come eat.
Yeah, exactly.
I remember that.
I was the pastor doing it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You was the pastor.
And I had members sitting down
there. I know.
Yeah.
I'm trying to, I don't want to get you in no trouble. Yeah. But you, the pastor, out there begging folk to come in and eat.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not to come to my church.
Yeah.
But to just come get a plate.
Yeah.
Yeah. I often wonder, as often as we feed ourselves in church, and y'all know if it's nothing a black Baptist church can do, is we eat.
That's right.
And I've said this over and over again. I said this since you've been with us on the show. It would be great if we as a church, the same kind of meals we cook to feed ourselves, that we just did it on a random Sunday and just opened up our church and said, you know what? We just feeding people.
Wow.
And we make a conscious effort that we get our hospitality committees or our kitchen committees or whoever they are to say, you know what? Y'all just going to cook, and we're going to serve food from the time church ends up until about 8 or 9 o'clock at night.
Man,
and I just need y'all to just make the commitment to do it.
Honestly, let me tell you something. People would do it if we would take the lead to throw it out there.
Yes, yes.
You got some people out here that don't belong to your church.
They would come and help you out,
though. They would come and help you. I'm a testament of that.
That they would. Yeah.
I have some supporters that don't belong to my church.
You told me that.
That have not even came to a Sunday service.
Wow.
But I can call them up.
Yeah.
And they going to come on the spot.
Yeah.
Because they have the heart to give.
Yeah. That's good. That's good. That's good. You have to have it, though, because you can't be so inwardly focused that you neglect the very community that your church sits in. And I don't mean no harm, but I have to tell the truth. There's no way you could be a church in the city of Chicago or let me even take it, bring it a little bit closer to home, a church in the Austin community, and you have churches that are less than 2 to 3 blocks away from where your church sits, and you have no relationship with the school.
Wow.
No relationship.
Yeah.
And when I say relationship, I mean more than renting out some property.
Yeah.
Let's wow. go to number. I know I should have just left that alone.
No,
but
you
I,
hit it, man.
Let's go to number six. Go ahead.
Most likely, there's a thriving small group program where members truly can have a biblical conversation, share struggles, and pray with for each other. We talked about this before.
The real purpose of small groups.
Yeah, the real purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, people need to, number one, share your testimony. And then also, people need to listen to ear to get some stuff off of them.
Yeah.
Sometimes everybody's not trying to be nosy.
Yeah.
But sometimes you have to have the boldness to be able to share. And the Bible talks, you have many scriptures when it talks about sharing what we're going through, sharing the gospel, sharing food, sharing so much because it's important. And, you know, in our community, let's just keep it 100.
Yeah.
We don't really believe in small groups because most pastors are intimidated that they feel like they don't need nobody else pastoring their members. And it's not that someone else is pastoring your members. They just open up their household. If you're confident in the anointing of, and you're confident in God, it shouldn't be a problem or issue for someone to for you to start a small group. I love them.
I think part of the problem is the initial purpose of the small groups got lost.
Oh.
Because as the writer said, thriving small group programs where members truly can have great biblical conversations.
Yeah.
That's first.
Yeah.
Share struggles.
That's true.
And then pray with and for each other.
That's 3-4.
Anything in that description about food?
That's good.
Was there anything in there about food?
Well, you know, us is we can't have.
We spend more time eating.
Worried about eating.
Than we do. We can plan a menu.
Man.
Come on now. Let's tell the truth. We can plan a group menu, and have that thing down to the T, to what size plates, 8 or 10 inch plates,
hey,
paper plates, all the
you hit
all the way down to the end. But then let you say, we want to have a group meeting, and we're gonna start off with. Like at least I'll give my group this at here at the church. I'll give us credit for this. Because we have groups, we just have numbers. I'm in group one. Every group meeting we have, we start off with devotion. We do. Everybody has to read a scripture.
Oh, that's good.
Everybody.
Oh, that's good.
So you literally see people in there with their phones or their Bibles,
that's good.
And we all start off with a scripture, and then we open up our group meeting or whatever. But 9 times out of 10. That's where it stops.
Now, are you over your group?
No, I am the minister in my group, though. No, every group is assigned a deacon or a minister. And so, no, I'm the vice president of my group, though.
Okay.
So, but that's where the spirituality part ceases, though. So there is no biblical conversations that go on. And I'm it's no slight to the group. I'm just telling the truth. There are no biblical conversations that go on. There's no sharing of struggles. The only time there's a sharing of struggle is if one of the group members is sick, and we happen to know about it, and we get money out of our group fund and send them some flowers and a card. But there is no real sharing of struggles because part of the problem is I'm not blaming the group. The construction of the group was never constructed in a way that was the purpose.
Wow.
Because they were constructed in a way that they were strictly fellowship groups.
Yeah.
And when you call them a fellowship group, then you can't be surprised that all your group does is eat.
And fellowship.
Because when it's a fellowship group, all we care about is the food and the next gathering.
Wow.
We don't really care about we really don't do that outreach to find out what's going on with our other group members.
Wow.
I mean, let's just be honest. I know for a fact we got 28 members in our group. Somebody help me. Sister King, I know you're still watching. We got about 28 members to our group, but 10 to 12 that are actually active.
Wow. Wow.
And yes, we and outreach only goes as far as sending a letter.
Sending a letter. You're right.
But outreach doesn't go as far as, you know, you don't just go to anybody's house.
That's right.
But you know what? Maybe you should. Maybe you should make a phone call and say, hey, we haven't seen you. We haven't heard from you in a while. Matter of fact, can we stop by and drop you off a sandwich or something?
Well, that's Bible. That's what they did back in the Bible.
Ah, you said the word, that's Bible.
They weren't able to use
Bible.
They weren't able to do all the other stuff. They had to go door to door, knock on the doors. Where you at?
Mm.
Man, I could go a little deeper. Just go get your can and a string and start hollering.
Let me see this. Faith Haygood says, Faith Haygood, I'm going to read your comment even though you didn't speak when you came in the room. And good afternoon, Dana. I see you, Dana Miller. Wonderful first name you have. It's wonderful. That just lets me know you're anointed and that the favor of God is over your life, Dana Miller, because your first name just happens to be Dana. Oh, my God, I felt something when I said it. Faith Haygood says, we had a small group at our church, and it's been a blessing. I actually lead one. That's good. Yeah.
But look what church she goes to.
What church is she?
She goes to Reggie Royal.
Oh, she should. Oh, that's right. So, okay.
You know, and I got to applaud.
Oh, his faith. His small groups are awesome.
Because he trains.
He trains the leaders.
The leaders.
You don't just.
He sent them out.
You don't just elect. And see, that's the other thing we do. We don't have bona fide leaders.
Yeah.
What happens is, and I'll just be honest, who ain't done it yet? Okay, now it's your turn to be president.
Now it's your turn. That's it. Qualified folks.
Right. And it's no slight to the people. It's serious. It's like there's no where is the training at for the group presidents or the group leaders or the group captains, whatever you want to call them? Where is the training?
Where is it?
Now this is where it falls back on the pastors or the ministers. That's your responsibility. If your small groups are failing, it's your fault.
Yeah.
That's just real honest. Dana Miller says, we have these groups at the church I'm a part of called Omni Groups, and they are held at individuals' homes once a week for Bible study as well as checking on each other. That's good.
Oh, that's good. That's awesome.
That's good. So Faith, we know you and Faith did speak. I see you. Thank you so much, Faith. God bless you. She spoke. Dana Miller, she says, what church do you go to?
She's all the way in California.
Oh, that's right. She is the one. Okay, she's in California. We have a comment. We have a comment where? Did I miss it? Did I miss the comment? Okay, I'm going to wait until she tells me where the comment is. okay, I don't know where the comment is. So tell me where it is so I can read it. Or is it an email? Where is it at? Oh, we have a call. Is it a caller that wants to talk about small groups? Oh, okay, got you. Caller that wants to talk about small groups. That's what it is. Caller, not comment. Got you. Follow you right now. Caller on the line. Let me get right now. Boom. I love that feature. All right, caller, are you there?
Yes, I am. Could you hear me clearly?
We got you. Go for it.
Okay, good. Hi, Dana, and hi, Pastor Park. You know, and Pastor Park, sometimes we get everybody's names. But I want to respond on the small group. I'm a part
I'm
of a church.
I'm sorry, I had a big on you. I said, he passed the park. I'm just Dana. I don't care because I'm just thought I, you know, I'm just, you know, maybe I felt some kind of way in my spirit though. Look at, come on, I'm sorry. Come on, I'm gonna be rude. Come on,
okay.
go ahead.
I attend a church and they have several small groups, which for me I find very helpful. How they do it is he has different topics, you know, different subjects that we talk about. And the pastor, he does a video. So we watch actually a video, like a 5-minute video about that particular topic, whatever series that is. And we build upon that. The great thing is, you mentioned food. Whoever is hosting it, they do supply food if they want to. But it's something about when you supply food, it brings out a lot in people. You know, you can get a lot out of people when you feed them. So for me, I enjoy the small group. It's feeding my spirit. I mean, it's building the closest church members, and it's just a great thing to have.
That's good. We thank you so much for your your comment. What church do you go to? You want to help us out?
Oh yeah, Christian Life Center. Christian Life Center is in Tinley Park. I love it.
Who's the pastor?
Welcome to this.
Pastor Jerry. Amen. Well, we thank you so much for your call. Appreciate you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
All right. Push ones, you can get yourself out the queue. Amen. So
okay.
Look, that's good stuff, man. That's great. I think she's absolutely right though. She's absolutely right. But again, you know, are we? Yeah, I'm sorry, Dana. I forgot to turn the volume up that you couldn't hear the call. I turned it up a little. I'm sorry. I forgot. You know, I forget about. I'm sorry, y'all on Facebook Live. Everybody else heard it, but y'all got the end part of it. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Okay. The thing is, though, are people willing to open up their homes?
You know, I think they are. But you have to get some seasoned.
That yes.
Mature.
Yes.
Christians.
Because
that really have the heart of God.
Because here's the deal. You don't have to lead the discussion to open your home.
You really don't.
So if Pastor Parks is our group leader,
mm-hmm.
okay, but Sister Joanne is gonna host it. Mm-hmm. Pastor Parks still teaching.
That's right.
We just need a different location.
That's it.
So I think you're absolutely right in the aspect of it is good to do small groups. I know just watching Pastor Reggie. At Lifeline, I see they're always having small groups. They do it at somebody's house.
Yeah.
They do it at restaurants.
Yeah.
They do it, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. But the downside to small groups, you got to have enough members to do small groups.
That's true. That's
because
true.
If you have a small church, don't be talking about you doing small group. That's just a small service. You know, and then also you got to make sure that whoever leading your group don't hate the pastor. I'm for real, man. Come on, let's move it along, man.
Let's go.
Start saying some things.
Let's go.
Go ahead,
get the next one. Number seven.
The people are being inspired and equipped to share their faith, relational, resulting in more and more new believers being added to the church.
Mm.
That's one. You know, we just talked about this the other day about being bored.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't want to keep coming to church and seeing the same stuff. It's boring.
Wow.
It's boring.
Wow.
You know, new souls not coming to the church. And then we follow everybody else but themselves. You know, who are you bringing to church? I mean, what's inspiring about your ministry? What takes place to make you say, I knew I missed something good.
Well, you had an excellent point, and there's a big part of this that we don't want to gloss over it. The people are being inspired and equipped.
Woo!
see,
woo.
We can inspire people all day long. We can shout you all day.
We're not trained.
But are we equipping you to then go out and,
wow.
and make disciples?
Wow.
And I like what it says, equipped to share their faith relationally, resulting in more and new believers. So, see, it's one thing to shout you and get you to holler and do a couple of backflips up the aisle and all that good stuff. But then are we then giving you proper application? So that you can go out and tell people, and are you inspired enough to share your faith?
You know, my question,
come on.
You hitting something.
Mm-hmm.
I really want to know how many people can really have a sincere biblical conversation, a conversation of just sharing the goodness of God without being sidetracked. Without being,
you know what it is? It's one of the things I've learned, especially in my short time in ministering, is that it's easier to have biblical conversations with people that know you, but people that you don't talk to all the time.
Yeah.
Versus people that talk to you all the time.
Okay.
They never even want to broach the subject. It rarely, if ever, comes up.
I agree.
You can talk. Y'all can talk about something on TV, clothes, politics, everything else. But when it comes to talking about God or Bible, it's not something that ever comes up. And because it now if it comes up, you get excited.
Get excited, yeah.
But it would be great if, I mean, think about some of your good friends.
Yeah.
Some probably never ask you a biblical question.
You know, honestly, I'm going to say this. You're right.
Or they ask you something to challenge you because they done read something somewhere.
You're right. What
so,
you think about this?
Yeah, exactly. But you never sit down and say, you know, I would love to sit down with my some of my close friends and they come to me and say, Dana, you know, I was reading this scripture, and I had a question.
Yeah, I love stuff.
But you don't. But you know, versus Did you happen to see so-and-so on TV yesterday? And I don't mind the conversation because any conversation is good conversation.
Yeah.
But those – and so – and you don't – and I guess the question is, it comes back on us and what the writer said. People are being inspired. Are we? We have to take ownership. Our friends. Are we inspiring our friends enough for them to come to us and have that type of conversation?
You, can I be honest with you?
Come on.
The best inspiration that we can give people is our walk.
That's true. That's true.
You know, some people can see peculiar about you.
That's true.
And want to tap into what you're tapped into.
That's true. That's
and
good.
And try to figure it out what is it about this God you serve.
That's good.
I love the conversation when you talk to somebody.
Yeah.
And they begin to talk about God, and they just go in like.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you just see the sincerity. The authenticity of the Lord have moved on. See, some people, and you got to be careful when somebody always just shouting like every blue moon. That's because what he done. But when you see somebody who just can just go for what they know and worship, that's because who he is.
Yeah, that's it.
There's a difference.
That's good.
See, when you shouting, is what he done at the particular time.
Yeah.
But when you just go into worship mode and when you think of him, that's because of who he is. And so the question is, how many we got that are worshipers because of who he is? And because of what our worship display, it will automatically attract others to want to partake in the goodness of God. And the most inspiration that one can get is one who don't complain.
Wow.
And that they can look at every negative situation and trust and believe is still going to work out for my good.
Wow. That's good. That's good. Number 8 says, well, again, we're talking about 10 signs you're attending a great local church. Number 8 says a good sign is the teaching or teaching and preaching is biblical, theological, and immensely practical. What that simply means is this. You're teaching, you're giving good, proper application to what's being read out of the Bible. And I tell people this all the time. Look at the way Jesus taught. Jesus taught on a level that people could understand. Jesus didn't use his vast knowledge of the universe because he was God.
That's right.
Y'all do know that. He was God.
He was.
So he did not use his vast knowledge of the universe to try to confound people with all of his knowledge. Jesus spoke about the simple things of the people that he was around. He spoke about gardening and planting and sowing seeds because he was around farmers. He spoke about building proper foundations because he was around carpenters. He spoke about all those things, you know, all of that type of stuff all the time because those are the people. He spoke about sheep all and bringing people, sheep hearing his voice because he was around shepherds. So he used terms that people could understand. One of the things that we get so and it really irritates me about some, we talked about this the other day, is you stand up in the pulpit and you give your theological dissertation that you had to give when you were getting your doctorate and your master's degree, and the people sitting in the audience will have a clue as to what you're talking about because you can conjugate your verbs and everything better than anybody else. That's wonderful. But at the same time, you need to make sure I understood what it is you're saying. Because like you said, if I got to sit through the church service with my thesaurus, my concordance, a book of homonyms and synonyms and antonyms and all this stuff.
Yeah.
Bruh, by the time I get through looking up the word, you through preaching.
And, you know, it's sad to say that, but I think we try to spend too much time being deep.
Yeah.
Being relevant.
Yeah.
And then it's because we're not relevant, we'll never be able to build revolutionaries. And we need to learn to build revolutionaries, those who are ready to change the world.
Yeah.
Like Jesus built 12 disciples and changed the world.
Yeah.
We still, even 2016, living in that concept, still trusted knowing that God took 12 imperfect individuals to bring them into this light. Even when they came into this light, they still messed up.
Wow.
They still make mistakes.
Yeah. Yeah.
However, they didn't give up on God.
Still a part of the process.
It was part of the process. And so what happens, and I think a lot of us pastors and preachers have gotten into the popularity trying to figure out if we're so more educated than the next person that we're losing the sight of best practice principles.
Yes.
And so now our application of the text
is not really as fluent as it need to be because people really can't relate to what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then don't get so caught up into so many illustrations as well, because some illustrations that we preach on is really taking the matter out of context.
Yeah.
And so now people are still in the place when you go into eisegesis, exegesis, and all. People don't know them terms. You don't have to share that.
Mm-hmm.
We know as preachers what you're doing.
Right, right.
But hermeneutics, hermeneutic, that's fine. But get to the main focus point of true inspiration.
Right.
What, even though I'm going through, what do I do now?
Yes.
And how do I not get back to where I was at? And so that's where people need to understand, because I believe life has become a cycle, a revolving door for most people. You go in, you come out, go in, the same things happening, same episodes, and we study failing.
Mm-hmm.
And so the question is, are we being true men and women of God that's really preaching the gospel in this content that would change lives and souls and bring them closer to Christ, rather than saying that I'm the best preacher? I mean, hey, there's some great preachers out here. Some preachers got some the smallest churches that can preach you under a pew.
Yeah.
But are there the objective to preaching is really touching the hearts of the people?
Yeah. Because when you think about, like I said, when you go back to what Jesus did, Jesus had an objective. His objective was to win souls.
To win souls.
His objective was to make you take a look at yourself and your current situation. And in some cases, not only to make you take a look at yourself, but look beyond you at somebody else.
Yeah.
So that's good. That's good. Go ahead and grab number nine.
Ministry to children and teenagers are top priorities, not afterthoughts. And
Lord,
a lot of us, and I'm guilty, because I feel I don't have that many youth kids, and that shouldn't stop, because the ones you do have, you need to cultivate them.
Yeah.
Because truth of the matter, they bring more people than adults.
Yeah. See, it's easy for a kid who's got good friends to say, hey, you want to come to my church?
Yeah.
And parents want their kids to be in church.
Yeah.
But they might not want to take them.
Yeah.
So they say, hey, can I go to church with y'all?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden that kid is bringing four or five kids with him because they all friends and they tight.
Yeah.
And then now your goal is, if you cultivate something in that child is going to go home and at some point an engaged parent, not going to be right away, but an engaged parent is going to say, I need to go down to this church and see who this is my kid keep coming home talking about. Ma, I was at First Bethel and they did this and the pastor said this and this, that, and the other. Or when that kid can go home and be like some kids, and hopefully they don't get the, you know, get smacked upside their head. But kid go home and say, "Mama, y'all going to hell?"
Wow.
Or, "Mom, I don't want us to go to hell."
Wow.
So let me go to see what this preacher's talking about at this church. Let me go see what's really going on down here. That kid will, that kid, as the Bible says, and the child shall lead them. That kid will take. Come on now.
He will.
He will bring his whole family. If you cultivate something in that kid, that'll be good, man. We can't allow time to just slip by like that and not take full advantage of the time we have with those children. I know we got a few minutes, man. We're gonna get through this. Let me go ahead and grab this last one. Number 10 says, intercessory prayer fuels everything. It's the engine, not the caboose, of how the church rolls from top to bottom. Intercessory prayer, simply meaning praying for each other.
Praying for each other. Praying for the service.
Yes.
Praying for the leader. Praying for your deacons. Praying for every ministry.
Yes.
Coming on, you know, one accord, man. And, you know, intercessory is a new term, pretty much.
Yeah, yeah.
But prayer is not.
Yeah, no, it's not.
And it's just the same thing, man. Intercessory prayer is when you're standing in the gap, when you're denying yourself and you're hiding yourself.
Yeah.
And you're allowing the glory of God to shine in places where you can participate in as well. And so what happens in intercessory, I learned that so many people complain and nag, but they're not praying. They're not praying for a productive service. They're not praying for a fruitful service.
Mm-hmm.
They're not praying for souls to come in. Yesterday I was preaching, and I was just talking about how you never know when the Lord would send your angel in the house. And so it's this guy that is being neglected on the streets in our community.
Wow.
He walked in, came all the way in the front row, and he was doing things up there, but he wasn't turning around anything, but he was doing things.
Look,
so now,
stuff a little odd.
But
right.
People's attention span got on him and not on the Lord.
Wow.
And so I had to keep telling him, you know, you never know. And I was pointing like this, you never know how the Lord would send people your way.
Yep.
And then, or the enemy can send people to distract. But I believe because the word that was going forth, it was nobody but the Spirit of God, how we was going to embrace him. And a lot of times we run away. We draw up, man.
Yeah.
It's just bad.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Let me read Dana's comment. Dana Miller says, people are seeking and searching the truth about God. We want the word in clarity so we can go out on Monday through Saturday to be disciples and build the kingdom of God. We can't share with others if our pastors are hooping and not teaching. Wow.
Yeah.
That's good. You know what? You're absolutely right. You need to make sure, again, nothing wrong with the hoop, but I said this before, hooping is gravy.
It's gravy.
The teaching is the meat.
Yeah.
So I don't know nobody who go to Sunday dinner and just want the gravy.
Yeah.
I want the meat. Matter of fact, you can keep the gravy and give me the meat.
Man.
Because look here, because guess what? You ain't going to get full on no gravy. It's going to taste good.
Now, I'm going to say this.
Come on.
If you can cook the gravy and the meat.
Right.
I take it, but at the end of the day, you make sure we got some meat.
You said something earlier, and I want to touch on it real quick before we go. Best practices.
Oh yeah.
I remember working at Bank One, now Chase, years ago. We used to have leadership team meetings, and at those leadership teams meetings, all of the leaders, managers or whatever, you had to get up, and if your department had been singled out for doing something great, you had to come up and give a presentation on that thing that you were singled out for.
Wow.
Because one of the things that Bank One and Chase used to like to do was they wanted to adopt best practices.
Mm.
So they would say, okay, Dana, we see you got one of the lowest quality control rates or highest quality control rates in the company. So what are you doing with your team that the rest of us ain't doing?
That's good.
So now you sit up, you say, well, this is what I do. You know, so you go through the process and everybody's like, oh, wow. Okay.
That's good.
So now you take that and you adopt it across the board.
That's
it's
good.
Not that we copy it, but if there's a practice that works,
that's good.
And it works well, why not use it?
That's good.
Why not use it? So, and there was this book that we used to use, and you could actually use this in your churches. It's called From Good to Great.
Okay.
Amazing book. It's an amazing book. And it teaches you how to take the stuff that you have that's working pretty good, but make it great.
Make it great.
So you focus on, and then the things that aren't working all that well, if you can't fix them, you kill them.
Wow.
You get rid of it.
Wow.
If you can't fix it, you get rid of it, man. So that's definitely something, man. I love it. I love it, man. This has been a great, great article. This has been really, really good, man. Hopefully y'all got something out of this, man. This has been really good, man. 10 ways to tell, or 10 signs that you're really attending a great church. What you got going
well,
on
today, man?
I know you got the thing right after this.
Thanksgiving turkey giveaway today.
Mm-hmm.
4 to 8.
Where's it at again?
6500 South Racine.
6500 South Racine.
Ogden Park. If anyone interested in serving, volunteering, or donating, so on, you may do so. You can contact me. You know how to reach me.
Mm-hmm.
Or just come on out there and just see how God moves.
That's good, man. That's good. That's good. Real quick, man, I want to give a big shout out real quick. On Thursday,
the
mission team from Kingdom, we went over to the Boulevard Homes.
made it through. See, I didn't lose. I experienced loss at a major cost, but I never lost faith in you. So if you see me cry, it's just a sign that I'm still alive. Oh yeah, I got some scars, but I'm still alive. In spite of all of it, he still has a plan for me, and it's working for my good, and it's building my testimony. In spite of the storm and rain,
in spite of the storm and rain,
heartache and pain, I'm still alive, declaring that I made it through.
I didn't lose.
Experience loss,
and
a major cost, but I never lost.
Back over you.